From Washington, this is VOA News. I'm Victor Beatty reporting. President Donald Trump has officially withdrawn the U.S. from the 12-nation Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, Pacific Rim Free Trade Agreement, calling it a great thing for the American worker. A White House spokesman said bilateral agreements are preferable. Australia's Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull said the remaining TPP members should forge ahead and seek new partners, perhaps China.
There is no other leader, in the TPP that is not seeking to ensure we maintain this momentum to free trade.
Meanwhile, Mexico and Canada are considering bilateral pacts given the Trump administration's demand to renegotiate or withdraw from the 23-year-old North American Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Gary Huffbauer is with the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
I think NAFTA will become two bilateral agreements rather than this trilateral accord that it now is. And then there might be a third bilateral between Mexico and Canada. And also Trump has welcomed a possible bilateral with the United Kingdom. So, of course, United Kingdom has to sort out its relations with Europe first.
British Prime Minister Theresa May to meet President Trump at the White House Friday. Gambia's new president, Adama Barrow, Monday announced his vice president, Fatoumata Tambajong, who is instrumental in organizing the opposition to longtime ruler Yahya Jammeh. Mr. Barrow is still in Senegal. His return remains uncertain. His spokesman, Khalifa Sala, indicated it could be Tuesday.
Consideration basically is where he's going to reside and where he's going to carry out his duties.
Jammeh, who refused to accept defeat following December's election, left the country late Saturday and is reportedly in Equatorial Guinea. ECOWAS troops who intervened Sunday continued their presence in Gambia to maintain security. This is VOA News. Syrian talks are continuing in the Kazakh capital Astana after a first day of indirect negotiations Monday between the government and opposition failed to reach agreement. The negotiations focused on cementing a nationwide ceasefire. Opposition official Issam El-Rai said the talks could result in future political dialogue that could be trouble for President Bashar al-Assad.
If this discussion succeeds, that means there is a real cessation of hostility on the ground, a real ceasefire, the weather will be ready for a transition or a political discussions, which the Assad knows. At that point, he'll be out of power.
A joint communique being drafted at the conference reportedly commits Russia, Turkey, and Iran to fight Islamic State and Jabhat Fateh al-Sham, formerly Nusra Front. They would also set up a mechanism to monitor compliance with the truce. New U.S. Defense Secretary James Mattis Monday spoke with NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg and his Canadian and British counterparts. The defense spokesman said they discussed the importance of their shared values, and in defense of those values, the U.S. will always turn to Europe. Opposition street protests returned to Venezuela Monday, with demonstrators demanding new elections aimed at forcing socialist President Nicolas Maduro from power. Protester Maria Hernandez said she's tired of food shortages, high crime, and a diminished quality of life. The country's economic crisis has deepened with food and medicine shortages, rampant inflation, riots, and looting. The Prime Minister of the Indian Ocean island of Mauritius has officially handed power to his son. 86-year-old Prime Minister Anirudh Jugnauth handed power to his 55-year-old son Pravind, the finance minister. The transition was made without elections, prompting the opposition to threaten protests. Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, in the midst of an African tour, called on his Tanzanian hosts Monday to take action against the network of exiled Muslim cleric Fethullah Gulen. Gulen's Hizmet movement linked to a network of schools worldwide. Mr. Erdogan accuses Gulen of being behind last year's attempted coup. President Trump Monday signed a decree barring U.S. federal funds for foreign NGOs to pay for abortions. White House spokesman Sean Spicer said the action reflects Mr. Trump's defense of the unborn.
The reinstatement of this policy is not just something that echoes that value, but respects taxpayer funding as well.
The abortion funding ban was first imposed by former President Ronald Reagan in 1984, lifted by former President Bill Clinton, reinstated by former President George W. Bush, lifted again by former President Barack Obama. A severe weather system moved up the eastern U.S. coast Monday after leaving a trail of destruction in the southeast that killed at least 20 people. High winds, heavy rains, snow, and flash flooding were reported as the weather system moved toward the New England coast. I'm Victor Beatty, VOA News.
That's the latest world news from VOA.